This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hurts, pressure coming, and he's sacked. Blasting to the cornerback was Bryce Huff. He went straight through the block to get his second sack of the year.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That call is from Fox. Bryce Huff is going to be a Niner, trade with the Eagles today. Lucas found a clip. He's going to play it about, I got the over-under at 6.5.
That was a different one.
It was?
More than one sack in his career.
He just has so many sacks.
You have more than one Bryce Huff sack clip?
Keep listening. May have to come back with one every break.
The other one sounded eerily similar to this one. You sure? They were different? Or two different clips of the same play?
Luke's right. Working hard.
Well, I don't know that. But anyway. Oh, I want to answer this. 925 texted in. Was there a question that Red Zone would be back? I had not heard anything that Red Zone might not be back. There was never a question about whether or not Red Zone was going to be back. There was a question about whether or not Scott Hansen was going to be the host of it.
Yeah.
Because I think his contract was up. And I would imagine with the way his profile has grown, he probably had some other offers out there. Offers that would allow him, like, I don't know, a commercial break.
To go use the bathroom.
Use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Something like that. But anyway, he's back. And I hope it's a super long-term deal because I'm telling you, man, like, I mean, we were joking a minute ago, and I'm only partially joking, that the old Chris Hansen to catch a predator thing was the best thing that's ever been on TV. But actually, it's Red Zone's the best show on TV, if you ask me. Like, right ahead of, or maybe only behind, the actual games themselves. Mm. Like, I'll take a Warrior game, I'll take a Niner game, but, like, no joke, and I know you guys don't have to deal with this, when the Niners are playing, my kids get ticked at me when I'm like, no, the big TV is going to be the Niner game, and the sound is going to be on the Niner
and
game.
And your kids are Niner fans.
Niner fans.
Yeah, and they're still upset.
Red Zone goes on the side TV, and if you'd like to position yourself to watch that without sound, knock yourself out. But there are moments where they get ticked and they head to the other room. Like, we're out of here. We're going into your bedroom and we're watching Red Zone during the Niner game.
There's no doubt that Red Zone is an amazing product, and like, I can't watch football without Red Zone anymore. But it has also kind of ruined like watching a lot of other sporting events for me. Because I don't know if it's like feeding into our dwindling like attention spans.
For sure it is.
But like, you're telling me now I got to go and sit through half hour of commercials to watch an NBA playoff game?
Oh, that's the thing. What's funny to me is that I'll talk to people, believe it or not, there are people in my world where sports is not the first thing.
What's that like?
I don't know what their problem is. I try to talk to them. My sister's one of these people because she loves the 49ers. And I've gotten her in on fantasy football.
Oh.
And she's a competitive little bugger, that one. She is all in on it. But when her husband, my brother-in-law, and my nephew, her son, who's 18, they are just like, it's red zone. It's red zone all day. And the 18-year-old brings his friends over and people are throwing chips bags everywhere and doing all that stuff that she hates. But the number one thing that she'll say, she's like, ugh, it's just the red zone. I can't follow what's going on. I'm looking at it and we're in Philadelphia. 2 seconds later, we're in New York. And I'm like, wait a minute. What happened in the Philadelphia game?
Don't worry. We'll get back to it.
I'm just like, you've never sounded older. Like, come on. Come on. You're not supposed to have an attention span anymore. Bing, 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 bing. This is a pinball machine now. You got to keep up. So anyway, but I know there's some people who are
it's the opposite problem for me.
It's too much. Yeah, I'm with you.
Everything else is too little now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Brock Orr. This kind of came up on Fox Sports 1. Craig Carton is one of their hosts. And listen to the conversation that they had earlier this week with regard to Brock Purdy or Jalen Hurts.
Oh.
Who would you rather be the Jets quarterback, Jalen Hurts or Brock Purdy?
This is easy for me. This one takes no thought whatsoever. He's a far better quarterback. Whoa. Brock Purdy does everything better than Jalen Hurts. And I think Jalen Hurts is a damn good quarterback. He's in my top five, one of the nine guys that are in that top five. But the guy's the machine.
First of all, I love that he says he's one of the nine guys that I've got in my top five. That's funny. But Brock Purdy over Jalen Hurts. What I love about the take is not just sort of what y'all think the obvious is. We can get to that, which is, you know, kind of which guy do you think is better? Which one would you take? Like, Jalen Hurts, the flavor of the month. We spent a good part of the year talking about all of the deficiencies.
Oh, A.J. Brown was pissed at him.
His top receiver wanted to punch him in the face.
Throw me the ball.
Right? And we did we not do this to Brock? Those of you who have questions about Brock, one of your top three points that I constantly hear, oh, he's just over here handing the ball to Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey right, McCaffrey left, McCaffrey up the middle. Wait a minute, that's not what Jalen Hurts did last year with Barkley? That's not what it was? Now Jalen Hurts, as TJ Houshmandzadeh says, oh, he's not overpaid anymore. He was, but now he's not. And I think I'm like what Craig Carton said. I think the world of Jalen Hurts. But let's just start there. Did he not, in fact, maybe lean even more into his running back than Brock Purdy did the year before?
I don't even think it's about just the running back. It's about the entire offense. I mean, you got Saquon Barkley, who was he offensive player of the year this past year?
Had to be, right?
I mean, Jamar Chase also had an amazing season, but Saquon Barkley was pushing for an MVP.
I never know who won the NFL award.
I think Saquon won offensive player of the year. Lamar won MVP. Josh Allen won MVP. But
AP NFL offensive player of the year, I think it was Saquon Barkley.
And it was McCaffrey the year prior. So there's the comparison.
There you go.
But Philly also has A.J. Brown, amazing wide receiver. Yep. Devontae Smith, really good wide receiver. And the best offensive line in the NFL.
Good tight end, too.
And Dallas Goedert. Yep. You compare it to the Niners a couple of years ago when they went to the Super Bowl and lost. You had Ayuk.
1,300-plus
really yards. Good wide receiver. Maybe not quite A.J. Brown's level, but really good wide receiver. You got Debo, who's not like comparable to Devontae Smith, but a very unique weapon and a very good weapon. Your tight end, Kittle, better than Dallas Goedert, but you got another really good tight end. You got Trent Williams, maybe one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL, but then you don't have a lot else on the offensive line.
It was a mediocre offensive line season for the Niners, yes.
Philly offensive line, way better than the Niners offensive line, and probably the best offensive line in the NFL last year.
Probably.
And the weapons relatively comparable. I would argue that Philly supporting cast better than the 49ers supporting cast a couple of years ago. And it's not necessarily like a competition, like who was best, but what quarterback had the quote-unquote, I don't know, easier job? It probably was Jalen Hurts last year.
Well, and I'll just remind everybody how quickly these perceptions can change because Jalen Hurts is now the flavor of the month. I would argue 5 weeks into the season last year, if you listen to Philadelphia sports radio, they were calling for his job. Calling for his job in a year where he ended up winning the Super Bowl. And don't forget what happened the year before that, which is the Eagles were the big bad dudes on the block. Niners came in first weekend in November, embarrassed the hell out of them. They never recovered. He got blown out in a round one playoff game against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yep.
And that was the backdrop of Jalen Hurts. And at meantime, Brock Purdy was on his way to the Super Bowl, and everyone was like, wow, you have a lot of good players on your team. And then we come back the next year. Brock has this disappointing year where there are analysts now saying, dude, you had injuries, but if you want a big contract, you need to pick up for those injuries. Well, this is what Jalen kind of suffered the year before, and he didn't even have Saquon Barkley on that team. And he, too, he did not, quote, pick up for his team. They were blown out in round one of the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs.
They made it, but they made it.
Niners were 6-11.
But they made it on the strength of September and October, as you know. Once they got to the final, the final 6 weeks of the season, they won one football game.
Yeah, something like that.
They won one football game. So, anyway, I just think there are interesting comparisons because now we look at Jalen Hurts through this completely different lens because of what happened last year. And, you know, what will we feel at the end of this year? I think there's more to say on this, and we'd love to hear from you. Brock or Jalen Hurts? Who would you take right now as the quarterback if you were just starting it out? We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. Grandy's in for Dibs on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
What do you think's going to happen in this game, Sting?
I think it's going to be a really tight game.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know, upon further review, I'm really glad he did that because it wasn't a great question. It was the easiest stupid question. It was on the way out the door of the conversation. It's not a thoughtful question. What do you think is going to happen in the game? That's not hard. That's that's the easiest. My buddy's sitting next to me at the bar. What do you think is going to happen tonight? That's not some sort of thoughtful, creative question.
If memory serves, that was before the Niners-Chiefs game.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
This past year.
It was Niners-Bills, I think.
Oh, was it Bills?
Niners-Bills.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well,
if Steve felt that was going to be a great game, then we got other problems.
It was not a great game.
He really thought the Niners were going to battle back and really show some resolve in that one.
You know what?
They had lost like 4 or 5.
The Lambeau loss where Brandon Allen started for Brock, right?
And McCaffrey was back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Christian was back.
Back for the Buffalo game and quickly got hurt again.
I mean, that was we suffered from that all year long. Every week, you're like, okay, this time you're gonna see the resolve and they're gonna battle back and then like
I think by that point most of us are probably like, okay, this team's done.
That game.
Yes.
For me, I could even roll it down to one play. And you'll know exactly what play I'm talking about. That was both the Warriors and the 49ers this year had one play.
Was it the play where McCaffrey went down?
No, it was when Josh Allen gave the ball to someone, and then he was
to Amari Cooper
tackled, and then they threw it back to him, and he ran. I'm just like,
to this day,
I'm like, let's go home.
To this day, the best play Amari Cooper made is a Bill because he made no other plays for the Bills.
Yeah,
his last year with them.
Yeah. I mean, it was deadline acquisition.
Yeah,
he got a lot of DNPs. Some injuries. I think he was dealing with a lot. I don't
even
think
catch
he's
a ball in the postseason. I don't even know.
I don't think he played much. He didn't play much.
What was the play for the Warriors?
Oh, that's easy. Game 6 against the Houston Rockets.
First the Van Vliet 3, huh?
First play of the fourth quarter.
And Warriors one. Fouled by GP2.
Yep, Warriors are battling back. They've cut it to 2. They've been outplayed all game, but you're going into the fourth quarter against a young team with elimination on the line, and they completely fall asleep on defense, huck the ball down court to Fred Van Vliet, who couldn't miss for that stretch of the playoffs, got an and-1 three, hit the free throw, went up 6, got a turnover, laid it in, and your 2-point deficit was 8 and night.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I will go to my grave, and Lucas, I know you will too, with the idea that, I'll put it this way, Steph Curry's injury is way less likely if they win that game and they don't have to play game 7 in Houston.
Yeah. No doubt. It's funny because and I know we want to get back to Brock versus Jalen, and we will in a sec. I think of the Warriors season in like two different chunks, and it's the pre-Jimmy Butler and post-Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
And the play for the pre-Jimmy Butler Warriors that kind of signified like the end was, and I remember we talked about it, you and Dib specifically, talked about it on the show the day after it happened. Warriors in Sacramento, must have been January, somewhat close to the trade deadline, but not like the deadline's a couple of days away, but it was approaching the deadline and you knew something was going to have to change.
Yep.
They have the lead for the majority of the game versus the Kings in Sacramento. They ultimately blow it. They're down by, I think, three in the fourth with like 2 minutes left, a minute and a half left. They scored like maybe 8 points all fourth quarter. They couldn't do anything. It was the story of that chunk of the season. It was the story of that season. And Steph gets it across half court. He senses the double team coming, and before the double team can get there, he pulls up from like 35 feet. He just says, "Hell with all of this. I'm not dropping the ball off for Wiggins to go 4-on-3 versus everybody else. I am pulling because I trust my ability to make this incredibly difficult and deep three more than I trust the rest of you bums to score on a 4-on-3.
It felt like a give up.
It felt like
I don't have the energy.
We're going out on the backs of me missing a shot that I can make, but I'm probably going to miss.
And also felt like, dude, it's too much work trying to get a shot that we're not going to get anyway.
And so if we get it, we're going to miss it.
Yep. So let me just pull up from here.
That signified the end of that portion of the season. Yep. And then you're right. That Van Vliet 4-point play signified the beginning of the end of the Jimmy Butler era of that season.
Yep. I mean, I don't think that's when the Warriors decided to make the trade, but it probably... was some icing on the cake.
Steph might have went back to the locker room that night and said, "Get me some damn help.
I think we're going to need somebody." The old Ocean's 11 line. You think we need one more? All right, I'll get you one more. By the way, just a little, a quick teaser. I love when people have the courage to have an unpopular take.
Oh.
I love that. And I think I've got one for you later today. But the inspiration for saying that out loud is one of our recent texters with a 650 area code. What's up, Peninsula? Red Zone is garbage.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's such a terrible take. It's unbelievable. But, like, I mean, do you? Your remote control goes where you want it to go. Red Zone is crack without all of the negatives. I've never even tried crack, but you know what I'm saying. Like, Red Zone to me feels
it's addictive.
Like good drugs without any of the bad stuff that happens. Kids don't take drugs. Oh, yeah, drugs are terrible.
Hook me up to that.
I mean, dude, inject Red Zone into my veins. There's something about, I think it's the kids about to get out of school. There's something about when you start getting emails about, okay, these are our end of the year activities. And it just signals to me, because there's also probably like the turn to June is when you start getting communication from your buddies about like, what should we do for the draft this year? And so there's something about all of this communication that just got me going. And you telling me that Scott Hansen just signed an extension or whatever, I just started visualizing all of the NFL Sundays and I'm like, oof, it's not that far off.
100 days from the first NFL Sunday, which means we're even
97 days until an actual
NFL game.
Eagles and Cowboys. Eagles and Cowboys.
Who the hell did Niners root for in that one?
Pain. We root for pain.
Overtime tie.
No, you probably root for. Oh God.
Wait, I have to look this up.
I don't know. I don't know who you root for. You root for whoever you drafted that's on those teams. It's like someone's going 1-0, whatever. You know what I mean? I come from a place where if you root for the Cowboys, you go to hell. So you can't root for the Cowboys.
So you're rooting for the Eagles?
I mean, that's why I'm just like, I don't know. Did I draft someone? If not, I don't know. Bet on it. You could root that way. Yeah, I don't want either of those teams to win any football games.
You
want to
know something that is absolutely crazy?
I love crazy.
It has to do with the Dallas Cowboys and laughing at them, which makes it even better.
Okay. Okay. I'm listening.
Where do you think the Dallas Cowboys rank in terms of teams' odds to make the playoffs in the NFC?
This year.
This coming season.
Where do I think they rank? Do I get a plus minus or do I need to nail this?
I'll give you plus minus.
You just want like a ranking. Like where do they sit in the NFC? Odds to make the playoffs.
Odds to make the playoffs. Odds to make the playoffs.
Not Super Bowl, just odds to make
the playoffs. Just to make the playoffs.
I would bet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'll go 9th.
That's incorrect. According to DraftKings, the Dallas Cowboys have the 3rd worst odds in the NFC to make the playoffs.
Wait a minute.
Which would be 14th best.
Actually, I can explain that.
I know
where they're coming from.
The New York Giants have the longest odds at plus 650. The Saints, second longest at plus 600.
And then is it the
then
Panthers?
You got a bunch of AFC teams.
Panthers?
Pardon me. They have the 4th worst. I skipped over the Panthers.
So they're 13th.
13th. Panthers plus 250.
I wasn't that far.
You were not that far off. And then the Cowboys plus 190 to make the playoffs.
I know. I can explain where their thought process. They have 2 elite teams in their division. That's it. Like, they have 2.
Eagles and Commanders.
Vegas is telling you that the Cowboys' only shot is a wild card out of 3rd place. And that's really hard to do. And they've got 4 games this year against the Commanders and Eagles. You know how many the Niners have?
0.
None. Oh, and add the Lions and Packers into that as well. 0. Don't play them. So I get it. You know,
the Dallas, 4th worst odds in the NFC to make the playoffs, the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going to look at their schedule. What else do they have on it?
49ers, meanwhile, third best odds in the NFC to make the playoffs.
Oh, God. So, yeah, not only do they have 4 games against Washington and Philadelphia, but the Cowboys this year, based on where they finished, they must have been 3rd place
last
year,
third.
Right?
Yep, only better than the Giants.
But they have a trip to Detroit on here. They've got and they are matched up with the AFC West. So they get Kansas City, they get the Chargers, and then you at Denver. That's not easy. You get a trip to Vegas coming off of a bye, so that's fun. They also have Green Bay on the schedule this year, if I didn't mention that already. So I get it. You do a dive on the Cowboys, that's going to be real hard. And
only the teams that have worse odds to make the playoffs out of the NFC, the Giants, the Saints, and the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
I mean,
trash, and then the Cowboys.
Like, Minnesota is starting a quarterback who's never played before and also has 2 elite teams in their division. Their odds are better.
I'd probably pick the Panthers to make the playoffs before I pick the Cowboys, honestly.
At least
the Panthers are in a gettable division.
Winnable division, yeah.
And if you believe in Bryce Young.
Yeah, I mean, not in a large sense, I don't, but he stopped looking awful.
Yeah, he was good at the end of last year.
That's the best phrase I can give for Bryce. He stopped being awful, so that's good. Yeah, he moved the ball a little bit. All right, how would you answer this one? Brock or Jalen Hurts?
Who would you rather be, the Jets quarterback, Jalen Hurts or Brock Purdy?
This is easy for me. This one takes no thought whatsoever. He's a far better quarterback. Brock Purdy does everything better than Jalen Hurts. And I think Jalen Hurts is a damn good quarterback. He's in my top 5, one of the 9 guys that are in that top 5. But the guy's the machine.
That's Craig Carton from Fox Sports 1. You agree?
Yeah, I think I'd take Brock Purdy over Jalen Hurts.
That's a pause. That was a nice pause.
Yeah.
That was a deep breath.
Jalen Hurts does something that Brock Purdy can't with what he does on the ground, although I think we saw him go away from it a little bit towards the end of last year, and a lot of it is just the tush-push, which is still going to happen again this year.
And Brock, not bad.
Not terrible on his legs, there's no doubt. I think Brock is a better, pure reader of defenses, and I think he is better at consistently getting the ball out. A lot of the frustration, and you talked about what Philadelphia sports radio was going through last year in the middle of the season and calling for Jalen Hurts' job, or at the very least being like, what the hell is this guy doing? You would watch an Eagles game and they would ultimately win because they just out-talented everybody that they played. We talked about how good their offense was. Their defense was amazing as well. And I think they're kind of the prototype for the Niners, what they hope this year turns into be for the Niners. You get a couple of really good drafts back-to-back, and suddenly you become the Eagles and are Super Bowl champions. That's what the Niners are going for. But when you would watch an Eagles game, invariably, there'd be like four plays throughout the game, Willard, where Jalen Hurts would hold on to the ball for an eternity and would ultimately like run around for 30 seconds and ultimately get sacked or throw the ball into harm's way, would maybe get intercepted or get knocked down. There are so many plays where you're like, Jalen, what the hell are you doing? Just throw the ball away. It was inexplicable. And to me, Brock has so many fewer of those, like, what the hell are you doing? That was a terrible decision. So many fewer just absolutely atrocious throws. So I think just by virtue of Brock generally being the safer, more straightforward quarterback, I think I'd pick Brock. I think he's the safer option for a team.
Will you hit the game show music again? Because I want to do this exercise with you.
Da, 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 da.
How many times last year do you think that Jalen Hurts, I'm not going to ask you how many times he threw for 300 yards. How many times do you think he threw for 200 yards? 200 yards.
He played in all games, every single game, right?
No, he did not. Week 16, 17, and 18, he missed.
Oh, that's right.
So, very good question.
So, he played 15 games.
15 football games. How many times, low bar, did he throw for 200 yards in those 15 games?
I will say 9 of 15, 200 or more yards.
It's a good answer. It's a good answer, but it's not the correct answer.
How many times?
You have overbid.
7?
8.
8. Oh,
eight
that
times.
Was close.
8 times that he threw for over 200 yards, and only once did he throw for 300 yards in a football game last year. Now,
that seems to be more about the way those games went.
No doubt.
And they
doubt.
Were ahead, and they have the best running back in the NFL last year.
Correct. Like, this is somewhat philosophical. Numbers are numbers. I'm certainly not trying to paint the picture that Jalen's not really good. I think Jalen is really good. And you go about it the way you go about it. Like, again, system quarterback, right? Because I don't call that. That's not a criticism if you ask me. But the Eagles have a system, right? It's a lot of ground game. It's a lot of misdirection going on behind the line of scrimmage. There's tush push. There's Jalen running the ball a lot. That's a system. And he runs it really well. And they only lost 3 football games last year. And they won the whole shebang. So all due credit. But if you go back to this point that Craig Carton is making, and, you know, maybe it's unfair because the real way to answer it, do you want Brock or Jalen? The next question should be, well, what system are they running?
Yeah.
Right? Who are his teammates? But if your mind goes to a traditional place, because I think even more so than the Niners, the Eagles have built their team around their system. I believe that. With the acquisition of Barkley and what they've done on both sides of the ball in the trenches, I think that they really, really do a wonderful job of running their system. But if your mind goes to a traditional place and you're thinking of a quarterback in terms of accuracy and timing and reading defenses and all that, yeah, Brock Purdy's better. I actually don't even, again, you can answer it how you want, but if you use those markers, accuracy, timing, and the reading of a defense, the traditional aspects of quarterbacking, neither one of them has like a huge arm. Jalen's is bigger, no question about that. So you can pick whatever traditional things you want. But if you are coming from that perspective, Brock Purdy is absolutely better than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and you can go on our 95.7 The Game Twitter page and vote. We got a poll up there. Who would you rather have as your quarterback, Brock Purdy or Jalen Hurts? And you can also let us know on both the text line and call us, 888-957-9570. I think you brought up a good point in our previous segment, Willard. It's amazing how fast the opinion changes.
Yep.
Because if you had asked this question maybe not even beginning of last year, but in the middle of last year, even amid Brock Purdy's struggles, if you want to call him that, and the Niners were not really great at any point in the season last year, you probably would have a much, much larger portion of the general football watching audience that would pick Brock Purdy as opposed to Jalen Hurts. But now suddenly he's not only a Super Bowl champion, but won Super Bowl MVP, had an amazing postseason. Like, we're not taking anything away from Jalen Hurts. At least we're not trying to do that. It's probably how it comes off a little bit. He was amazing in the postseason. He was awesome. And honestly, he's had a pretty good two postseason runs. Went to the Super Bowl once and lost to Mahomes and then beat Mahomes this past year. He was very good in both of those playoff runs. And Brock Purdy has had definitely his moments in the playoffs. But if you were just to ask this a year ago, you get an entirely different response. And obviously, you react to new information, but it's not as if Jalen Hurts set the world on fire for the entire regular season either. I mean, there was a lot of drama that happened in the Philadelphia Eagles season this past year, to the point where, one of the biggest stories was, what book is A.J. Brown reading on the sidelines to keep himself under control so he doesn't scream at Jalen Hurts again?
Well, we know this. Sports fans know this. If you win a championship, everything goes away. Everything goes away. Your anger goes away. The weird stories of the year goes away. The fights on the sideline goes away. Your criminal record of your cornerback or whatever. I hate to say that, but it does feel like it glosses over everything. Early returns, as the votes are now really coming in on our Twitter poll, who would you rather have, Brock Purdy or Jalen Hurts? Early returns are pretty strong for Brock Purdy. Not overwhelming, but he's definitely ahead, tracking at around 2/3 right now of the vote. Also want to point out what's up to Major West was the first and only, because it's a poll, you're just supposed to vote on it. You don't have to respond to it on Twitter, but there was somebody who responded to the question with another question.
What did Major West ask?
Depends on if we're playing rugby or football, like red-blooded Americans play. I mean,
you're going for rugby, you're taking Jalen Hurts. Is that what you're saying?
For sure, that's what he's saying.
Yeah,
that's what he's saying. And that's a shot at the Tush Push. And by the way, Major West, he's right. I'm not going to take a shot at the Eagles. They play football. But the Tush Push is not football, I don't believe. Not the way that I learned it.
Are you upset at the NFL for not banning that?
Not passionately, and not overly surprised. And I'm also, like, sometimes I question all kinds of things. I mean, we could really go off the map here. I question all kinds of things in our country in terms of the way we vote. So if you're the NFL and you're like, we've got 32 teams, and 22 of them firmly believe it should be this way. And then we go, that's not enough. Why? Why do we need 24?
Yeah, 22 to 10.
Who the hell comes up with this three-quarters number? That's an arbitrary, like, why? What is this? It's like the Electoral College. What are we really doing? Why are you doing it that way? I just wish more questions would get asked. And I know why questions get annoying. It's kind of like, that's what everybody's kids do all the time when they're 7 years old. Why can't I have 12 desserts? Like, I get that that's annoying, but I really do wonder why, when something gets to that point where the league is clearly like, we got an issue here, and an overwhelming, quite frankly, majority. There are more than two teams to every one.
22 to 10.
Right?
22 teams voted in favor of the ban.
Right. Better than 2-1. The team said, no, this should not happen. And the league's like, sorry, not enough.
Needed 24 votes.
I think that's lame. I don't really understand that.
Did you hear what Jed? Apparently, the meeting among owners got a little bit tense.
Yes, very tense.
Lurie, owner of the Eagles, got up and was talking about, I don't know, defending the Tush Push or
they filibustered for like
whatever.
An hour. Yeah. And then Jason Kelsey there.
And then Jed York got up at one point and, according to an article by Seth Wickersham of ESPN, said, how much more expletive do you need to say?
Right.
Like, let's get this on with.
It's like,
wrap
we get
it,
it. We get it. You think this is good.
The Tush Push helps you. We understand.
We get it. Let's go vote.
Now, why did nine other teams vote in favor of it?
Great question. You'd love to get their thought process on it. I don't know if, you know, the people who defend it to me are sort of like, I don't know, it feels a little bit like a cherry pick. Like, somebody developed this. It works really well. You're all allowed to do it. But now we're going to vote it out just because they're better at it or whatever. You know what I mean? Would it feel sort of like the Warriors being like, no, you're like, Steph's allowed to shoot threes. And everyone else is like, we could shoot threes too, but we don't shoot them like him, so it's illegal now. I'm sure that there are some who felt that way, but obviously not most.
Yeah, it's kind of like just a competitive thing. I want to be able to stop it outright as opposed to just not allowing you to do it in the first place.
I wonder what it'll look like when the personnel changes. How much of it is personnel versus just, do they have some sort of a secret?
Yeah.
To the way they do it. I don't know. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Grandy is here for dibs. 888-957-9570. All right, everybody, here we go. Let's get ready. I have a very, very unpopular take. I already know. I haven't even really said it out loud yet to anybody on the air, but I already know that it's an unpopular take. But it's my take.
Uh-oh.
It's where I've arrived.
I'm worried.
And we'll do that next on Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.